Hi, I'm John Clark. I'm a comedian and a Star Trek fan.
Your daughter, Elizabeth Shatner.
I'm Mike Drucker. I'm also a comedian and a writer, and I've never seen Star Trek V.
You want to talk about?
I'm Bill Monroe. I'm a businessman and owner of ShatnerPalooza.com.
And this is the audio commentary of Star Trek V. We're listening to William Shatner discuss this debacle.
William Shatner's personal account of the making of Star Trek V.
As you probably heard if you're playing the DVD.
We're both here to tell the tale.
So, Mike, why have you never seen this? Have you seen the other movies?
I have seen the other Star Trek films. I've enjoyed them greatly. But everyone told me that Star Trek V was a terrible film. And I just thought it wouldn't be worth my time.
Well, they were right. And Bill was...
Well, you know, I have no idea when I saw this thing. I remember trying to figure out if it was, in fact, worse than the first movie, Star Trek The Motion Picture. I'm not sure, but I am really looking forward to what Bill has to say about his work on this movie.
Now, does anybody know why it looks exactly like the Road Warrior at this point?
Well, because it's the planet of galactic peace.
Road Warrior is really cool. as far as I'm concerned, you know, sort of, it's, you know, not just Road Warrior. Also, you got sort of sand people, Tusken Raiders in there. I like that.
You wouldn't be able to tell by this shot, but there are two huge airplane jet fans right outside camera blowing that dust across.
Really? I was wondering how they actually got the dust. Wind onto a set and got the dust to move. It's very interesting that they used fans.
It's movie magic.
Just for those of you that are listening and not watching, we have the subtitles on.
Because I've
never seen the movie. And I'm actually finding the subtitles more pleasant to watch than the film itself.
More pleasant than the picture or than the commentary?
I believe that's Sean Connery.
No, actually, the story was it was supposed to be Sean Connery, and he turned it down to do Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Ooh, bad decision. Bad call. No.
And where is he today, really? I don't remember the name of this wonderful character actor's dying. And
Shatner. Okay, this is a guy that Shatner recruited. Realize, William Shatner is the director of this movie. He owns it. And this is a wonderful character actor here. And William Shatner cannot remember the name of this guy in the middle of his death scene.
It's 3 minutes into the movie, and he can't remember other people.
He's forgotten the cast already. This is why we love Bill.
Rex Holman, that was his name.
Oh, Rex Holman! Good guy, Rex Holman.
So that's why Shatner's daughter is on the commentary, just to kind of cover his memory gaps. And
Shatner's daughter is apparently the bastion of sobriety right now.
Now, what was the story? Yeah. Didn't you hear the story about him yelling so much at the crew that his wig fell off?
Yeah, he got into a rage. Apparently, he got into a rage at something, and somebody told him to calm down, and he did not feel there was any reason for him to be calming down, so he just flew into a further rage. His toupee flew off, and people started laughing, and I guess he started firing people.
So that's a true story.
Wow.
This is a film made by a visionary.
Now,
Orson Welles did the same thing. Just for the record.
Yeah, but it was about his weight with Orson Welles.
More dust.
Oh.
Now,
it was about frozen peas, I think.
Frozen peas, actually.
Well, in the depths of your ignorance.
Frozen peas dissolved in Paul Masson.
Remember, your first incarnations of the horses were actually unicorns.
Gene. Right? Who
is that one, I think, because to him that meant it was more a science fantasy rather than science fiction. So the unicorn became a horse.
Yeah. So Gene Roddenberry had to step in. And again, Shatner doesn't.
According to science fiction, on foreign planets that we have not yet seen, unicorns are out of the question, but equestrians as we know them on Earth,
yes,
100.
But they can have bumps on their heads, just not full-blown horns.
So far this scene we've spent, looks like about 5 minutes on, and then completely unnecessary to the plot.
Opening credits.
Well, it introduced our character that we...
Don't tell me that, because I'm waiting for the ending.
Well, did you know that character? Because he was in... Have you seen him before? Then he was introduced.
Ah.
the guy you thought was Sean Connery. And there's your title sequence.
No, actually, the guy you thought was Sean Connery was not the main guy.
No, well, that's the main... The main guy is Kirk. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no. I think you were talking about the bald guy as Sean Connery.
Did you think the bald guy was Sean Connery? The guy with the beard was Sean Connery?
I thought the guy with the beard was Sean Connery.
Well, then you were right.
Like Sean Connery.
No, I didn't think the bald guy looked anything like him either, except that he was
bald. Yeah, the emaciated Vulcan was...
That horse, was that played by Sean Connery?
I believe the horse was Adam West in a cameo.
It was supposed to be, but Sean didn't want to wear the horn.
And recently outed. George Takei. Takei or Takei?
Takei.
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 At the roast, he told anyone that called him Takei to go fuck themselves.
And he pointed at Shatner and went, it's Takei, just like Toupee, that thing you think we don't see. Or something.
He was very
like that.
Angry. He went beyond comedy into, drama.
But he was funniest one there. He had a better set. He had a better set than Betty White.
I thought Betty White was funny.
Betty White held her own. But
we're now on Planet Earth.
Yes.
Actually, Planet Earth looks a lot more fake than the Desert Nimbus 3 planet that they were just on.
Well, this is back.
This is back in the days of matte paintings when we didn't actually have a Yosemite.
Yeah.
What's with the ass shot?
A lot of film on people climbing.
I'm still unclear. Maybe one of you can help me.
What?
Liz Shatner.
Yes.
Did she actually involve herself in the production of this movie, or was she related to William and therefore...
She's related to William. Okay. I don't know if she has anything to do with the movie, but she's here on the commentary.
Like a producing credit or like a story credit? Or...
She might be one of the daughters from the Deadbeat Dad song on the Has Been album.
I have no idea what you just said.
That's the pinnacle of William Shatner's career is Has Been.
That was the album he put out a couple of years ago. It's quite disturbing. It's mostly a spoken word album, but then he sings some British punk songs.
And he records gospel songs about death.
Thank you, got it.
I was worried in my naivety that the cinematographer might have his own view of what to do.
I was worried that other people might have ideas.
You know, because when I hire a cinematographer, I want to make sure they know nothing about cinematography.
Especially if I'm a first-time director.
Yeah.
Making this film, I was really concerned that people other than myself would have a hand in it. And luckily for Star Trek fans everywhere, I succeeded.
You know what? One of the things I love about this, came out at the summer of 89, which... First of all, it was one of the biggest summers ever. It was Batman was out, and Bill and Ted was out, and Lethal Weapon 2 was huge films. But the other thing
was... Dead Poets Society.
But it was also, at the moment, the Next Generation really took off. So this was their moment to go, hey, wait, the original series still can compete? Look, we got Kirk climbing a mountain and a bearded Vulcan that looks like Sean Connery. And which is probably why after this they decided to make one more. And then leave. Good. Right about this. Wasn't this also the summer where Picard was taken over by the Borg? Was that 89?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, that would have been season 4.
So they have Locutus. Then a month later, you go to see this.
Yes. And now he's using the same binoculars that Luke used on Tatooine.
Well, if you watch, a Tusken Raider will jump up, beat bones, and shake his stick in the air.
Now, that's nothing to shake a stick
now, at. Now, I only watched some of the original series, but he's wearing a scarf of sorts around his neck.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that the Good Doctor was gay.
No, I think the Good Doctor is just 83, and he's trying to cover all the you know.
God rest his soul.
Big turkey neck. God rest.
God rest his soul.
He's a great man.
And Leonard's actually on a teeter-totter, kind of glued in.
Actually, Spock looks a little gay here.
It's hard
makeup. There's a lot of eyeliner.
One of the ironies of Star Trek is that the least gay-looking man in Star Trek, George Takei.
Except when he takes his shirt off and runs around with a sword.
That's not gay to me. That's really cool.
But he was oiled.
Don't see it. That's just cool to me.
testosterone in action.
Half of the movies on my computer are of Asian men oiled with swords.
And you're not gay.
And I'm not gay. AsianManOiledWithSword.com. Please check it out.
It's a daily blog.
Blog, pictures.
Now, in your experience, is the saber fetish crowd different from the broadsword fetish crowd when it comes to Asian men oiled up?
No, it's not really by sword. It's actually by Asian man. Because some people go for oiled Koreans, oiled Japanese, oiled Chinese, Filipino. So that's why if you go to, just to plug again, www.cafepress.com/Japanese man with sword oiled. The other one was taken, the one that I said before for the .com.
There's still a quality website.
You can buy shirts of different Asian men, is what I'm saying. I'm sorry. We've lost track.
Look at the makeup on this.
And now we see William Shatner upside down hanging from a mountain. And he's talking about how afraid he was actually going to hit his head.
I'm not afraid.
I'm not afraid he would hit his head either. I think he did.
But why are they all made up like the Golden Girls?
Oh, back to because that's who they were dating at the time?
I think this scene here is how you recreate the Star Wars Cantina scene with about $2,500.
Oh, so he's actually going for a Milton reference here.
It really looks like he's going for a Lucas reference.
Yeah, they're playing pool with,
water.
And here's the Jedi.
It's pool in a pool.
And it looks like, what was that television show that had the people who dressed as animals?
Cats?
No, that was cats as well. Oh, and we have the Total Recall breasts.
Yes. Cat.
Manimal?
It was a TV show with cat people?
No, like everyone was dressed as animals.
The Muppets?
No, those were...
You talking about Zubily Zoo?
Zubily Zoo! Zubily Zoo!
And then Cynthia Gow
was the girl playing Caitlin. Is that right? You had a lot of... Shatner loves less about his own movie than anyone involved.
Was he even on set?
Than his daughter, who may have interned on the movie.
Did he direct this from home?
Is that right? Pretty soon he's going to go, DeForest Kelly played McCoy. Really?
Huh.
I've heard of him. I thought this guy was dead.
No, he just cried.
No,
but they said
no.
It was his death scene.
Well, he was dying, and then the Vulcan who looked like Sean Connery came and pulled his bad memories out and rescued him.
So he's Dr. Phil.
What does that mean?
Yes. Well, we don't know, and that's the entire problem with the movie.
That's the movie.
But yeah, that's what the guy does. He can pull bad memories. Pull
bad memories.
Painful memory out of you.
Bad memories.
And address it. Yes.
Bad memories.
So it's all about disclosure and working to achieve harmony and disclosure and coming to terms with your past.
You know what? I think the theme of bad memories is very apropos because that's what the audience is left with.
Yes.
It, like, wants to be Dune and Star Wars.
There's little Star Trek in there, though.
There's Shatner. Well, there's a Klingon.
There's Shatner and a British guy being bad.
Hey, that was Captain Archer.
And you had to use the same group of people for all the shots.
No.
It looked like him. Probably wasn't him.
Scott Bakula.
Yes.
For the rest of you.
Yeah, his own bad show.
Paradise City is now being invaded by Tusken Raiders. One of which is on a blue horse. No, that's a unicorn.
Wait a minute. They just said he couldn't use the unicorn.
He can't use unicorns, but horses with horns are okay. There's a fine distinction.
Shatner got his lawyer involved in that.
He snuck a unicorn into the movie.
What I like about that was there was a debate on how long a horse's horn has to be before a horse is considered a unicorn.
That was probably an afternoon. The guy with the blackboard just kind of drawing horns. No.
They didn't even ban unicorns. They wanted to see what they could do with that.
Shots you wanted them in, maybe shots. It's 150 minutes. It's 2 hours.
Bill.
Larry said, "Welcome to Paradise," or something like that. And
he still sounds like he's never directed a film.
He said no.
He still sounds like he's never seen a film.
We have to move on.
I mean, it was like it made shooting for a television show look like a long vacation. I've never
Shatner has a tendency, for those of you who don't have the commentary with you.
The, why you're listening to this is beyond
to me. Begin a simile and never finish it. So
can,
he'll
can
say,
you give an example?
For example, I have a Red Bull in my hand, and he'll say, "This Red Bull is like..."
So did you see that next scene?
I believe this was a new set of the...
A Red Bull.
Because they had destroyed the Enterprise in the last movie.
Every year.
Yeah.
Every
so this is a new one.
We would destroy the set, thinking that there'd never be another movie.
And drunken rage.
About $500,000 that had to remake it.
But Herman Zimmerman, who did all the sets, did a really nice job on this one.
Yes. This was easier to work with.
You were able to take out pieces of it.
Take pieces out and able to get these, that moving shot, for example, around.
Because the old sets, you couldn't move pieces of.
Yeah, the director of the movie is calling it a tracking shot, a moving shot.
That's okay.
One of those.
I think he actually made.
Can you imagine him sitting with the cinematographer? Let me get one of those moving shots.
I imagine.
Move the camera all around.
15 minutes before doing this commentary, Shatner basically flipped through a filmmaking guide. So he could be asked that.
Blockbusters for Dummies.
I don't know if the For Dummies were out in 89, but the equivalent of that era.
Complete Idiot's Guide, too.
Was that out?
It's a summer blockbuster.
I don't know.
So you're faced with this Hobson's choice of, what do? If I move them, it takes time, but it doesn't look good.
He really had no idea what he was doing.
Because like, the idea of, you have a choice. You're making a movie, people can either stand still
or
move. What do you do?
What do you do?
Completely heterosexual.
I suspect both of them at this point. It's a nice wig on Chekhov, too, by the way.
Chekhov wasn't really Russian, was it? Like the actor.
No, Scotty wasn't Scottish, Chekhov wasn't Russian, and Shatner wasn't talented.
And Nichelle wasn't black.
Still offensive.
That's the kind of future. Gene Roddenberry wanted a future where people would pretend to be different ethnic types.
Ah.
But he still went to central casting.
Why are they camping?
They're on vacation. And now they're getting called back to the Enterprise and they got to ruin this vacation, which we're still going to see another 10 minutes of.
Well, there is that chemistry between the three of you.
We're going to watch them eat beans. This is a sci-fi blockbuster.
Now, I remember the movie Blazing Saddles. And I know that beans can make for great scenes in movies. Am I anticipating one right now?
It's not a truism.
Okay.
Now, Bill and I had a long argument about this movie versus Star Trek Nemesis.
Yes.
Which is also really, really bad. Have you seen Nemesis?
Have not seen Nemesis either.
Why?
I avoid bad films.
Why would you do that?
Because I think that I only have so much time in my life. And every bad film I watch is sort of like dying a little bit earlier.
So I find every bad film just gives me a little more confidence.
In what?
Because these guys made a really bad film. I haven't done that.
You haven't made a film.
I made short films.
Okay. Maybe add it all together.
Add it all together would probably be a very bad long film.
It'd probably equal like...
The plot would not
a really
make
bad
any
sequel
sense.
To Kentucky Fried Movie.
Yes.
It would be like Shogun.
Kind of.
Weird choice for a movie as an example.
That was a miniseries.
Yeah, exactly.
Ah.
Forrest is drunk.
The purpose of the scene is really to set up their relationship
Right.
Yeah, because they had 35 years.
Because we don't know how Kirk, McCoy, because and Spock
yes.
were like.
And you know what? A lot of people, this would have been their introduction to Star Trek.
Yeah.
It would have been number five. They would have been walking to the multiplex and go, Star Trek? What's that? Yeah. Well, I don't want to see this Batman.
Now, I think where we're at now, it could be an okay scene if we started the movie here and just skipped the previous 20 minutes.
Yeah, we're 20 minutes in.
Because we haven't, because nothing that's happened so far is really important.
Wow, we're 20 minutes in.
What, how the take was.
And nothing's happened.
And so it became a game for everybody to rush over at the same time to see what how they were looking, and they didn't want to do it again. There was no time for more takes. So
he was. So everyone would crowd the monitor.
See this, but me.
Like they'd never seen themselves on TV before.
Sounds organized.
Well, you know, when you've got a good director who can corral his cast well, you know, that doesn't happen.
Well, this is Shatner's first film. I think if you look at his later work. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
They spent $600 to make the marshmallow holder.
Jim Crowley in the prop department made a marshmallow dispenser. Used up most of our budget. We went to Ricky's in New York to get the rest of the makeup for our various characters.
And we had to cut several of Chekhov's scenes.
He got to be Russian.
We almost couldn't afford the accent. We're just going to have him walk around and go, hello, I'm Chekhov. So is that a marshmallow holder, or is that a food replicator that only makes marshmallow-shaped food?
I believe it could also make hot dogs. I don't...
Yeah.
Cylindrical foods, like...
But it didn't make marshmallow, it made marshmallows.
Well, they're the future of marshmallows. The characters are loved enough. So nobody's really mellow in this movie. For them to sit still. Except the commentary.
I suppose so.
I love that he said, hopefully there's dialogue that compels him to listen. And at that moment, they start all singing Row Your Boat.
We needed to fill up 15 minutes in this film. And we decided teaching an alien how to sing a children's song would both demonstrate how human the human characters are and allow us to do one complete shot and fire our editor.
The other good thing about it is the song Row, Row, Row Your Boat never really ends. So this scene can stretch on as long as we needed it to.
Well, wasn't this scene... Perhaps this part of the movie was written during the writer's strike. And so they just wrote Row, Row, Row Your Boat for 10 pages. Like Jack Nicholson in The Shining. And they just planned to go on as long as they needed to until the strike was resolved.
A little known fact, actually, I looked this up on IMDb, is that originally the script for Star Trek V was them teaching Spock the song that doesn't end.
They were teaching American Pie. And after an hour, Spock's going, Helter Skelter in a fallout shelter. Yes, Captain.
This is the song that doesn't end. It just goes on and on. My friend. Some people started singing it, not knowing what it was. And now they'll just keep on singing it forever just because.
Nights in white satin.
I'm coming back to a point I already made, but I really feel like they walked on the set to shoot the scene and going, you know, we're not afraid of this new Star Trek show. We'll show them how it's done. We got a big budget.
They've got
Borg. Borg, we got a hippie Vulcan. Oh, and now here comes the Klingons. Just because people like this ship.
Maybe this can be explained to me. Why do all Klingons look like Tina Turner?
Because it was the 80s.
And especially Tina Turner in the movie Tommy.
And my question is, why didn't they ever hire Tina Turner?
They spent months preparing.
How much could she have cost? She could have been one of the Duras.
I have just offended everyone listening to this commentary track by making fun of the Klingons.
Yeah.
People get married dressed as Klingons. I would never do that. Maybe dressed as a Wookiee.
So you think you think you've got more heat come from the Klingon fans than from Tina Turner?
Klingon fans are crazy.
Tina Turner fans gave up on us long ago.
Klingon fans are like a political party. Why did they just shoot Carl Sagan's satellite?
I really don't know.
If you noticed earlier, I don't know if you did, it had
look
that
at,
little...
Look how happy the Klingon woman is. She was like, that was a hell of a kill on that satellite.
They're going to have some Klingon sex.
I need a target that fights back.
Shatner's always surprised by people's performances. Wow. They learned their lines.
So. Maybe, again, I'm not a huge Star Trek fan. What is Klingon sex like? One of you must know.
No, I don't think we've ever seen
you
it.
You know, because you're about to speak.
How are you not a huge Star Trek fan?
According to Worf, it is not healthy for a human woman to engage in sex with a Klingon. She will be seriously injured. But then he hooks up with Troy later on, so who knows what happens.
He hooks up with Dax.
He hooks up with Dax,
that's
yeah.
That's all he does is hook up
but
with non-Klingons.
But is that like oral sex, though? Is there Klingon oral sex? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Because I know there's like half Klingons, but I'm not going to hook up with a Klingon if they're not going to reciprocate.
Well, I'm sure there's fan fiction that
there's
explains
fan fiction.
It in
well,
detail.
That's fan fiction. That's not canonical. I only accept canonical sources on alien sex. Always.
We're almost a half an hour into this, and the three major leads are not aboard the Enterprise.
Right.
I'm so glad there's three of us here because we have more to say than
he's
the two people doing the commentary.
He's wearing the brawny guy outfit.
Well, the film is quite dry.
Well, I think that marshmallow. I also think that marshmallow replicator could make a roll of brawny.
Could make a roll of brawny. Isn't the brawny guy with the brawny commercial with the puppy and the wiping up the spill? Is that just the gayest commercial ever?
Shatner is rather critical of his own movie.
He doesn't like it when the movies don't move.
Very crowded, obviously, in there. All three of you standing there.
Very crowded. Very tense. There's a lot of tension.
Now, see, Shatner really has no ego because he was in the back of that shot. He let Spock go in the front. Now, had he been an egomaniac?
He's the caboose of that man train.
That's right.
Now, this shot is not sexual, by the way. Just so we're clear.
Neither is the end of Star Wars.
Shuttlecraft was crashed into the walls.
I
had to do a special
rigging
to make sure it wouldn't crash into the walls.
Are
you
making that up?
Have you guys noticed that?
Oh my god, that's a next generation shuttlecraft.
That,
I love how they have a tire stop, like, in your garage, so you don't hit the wall.
A little tennis ball is yeah. actually hanging from the ceiling, just bumps it. Have you noticed that Liz Shatner will remember something, and then William Shatner will agree with it? That's the extent of... Do you remember when he was late for the shoot? Yeah, he was.
Well, you should hear the, if we could talk about it in the commentary. Mm. There's a great commentary in the Adam West Batman movie.
Yes.
Where,
some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
Exactly. Burt Ward starts making up stories, because it gets so quiet by the second hour. Burt Ward starts making up stories. He's like, yeah, remember when that set fell down? And you hear, like, this long pause, and Adam West goes, yes. They're so out of ideas. Mike and I perform at the Improv
regularly.
Yeah, regularly, at least about 4 or 5 nights a week, and we go over our jokes pretty rigorously.
I'd say so.
But we've never had to explain it. Like, the joke of this is that door didn't open.
The joke is actually that you don't know why a chicken would cross a road. Therefore, discovering that its initial intention was just to move across the street.
The joke is that someone's knocking, and I don't know who's there.
Well, at the same time, he just explained the other joke they were just going through, in that there was no place on the bridge to hang his coat.
Oh.
So that's why we just saw the ensign walking around carrying his coat, knocking things over. Now, that's the kind of insight you don't get from watching a movie. You have to listen to Bill.
Can you get the t-shirt he's wearing on your website?
That was your first day.
We'll work on that.
I think so.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's public domain by now.
You don't think they...
Look at his wig here. He looks like Gene Simmons.
He looks like that TJ Hooker guy.
She's walking around trying to find a place.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the joke.
What I was trying to do, and especially using Melanie as a means... because she's moving around trying to find a place to hang the coat, that I would work her into the motion of the
camera. They're still talking about the coat?
Yes.
Oh, but he just admitted it didn't work.
And the idea of moving a camera.
I like they're trying to make the Enterprise like the Millennium Falcon. They're just putting, like, hoses.
Yeah.
You know, you know, on the show, you always assume they were beyond this kind of technology, but...
I think this is a terrible idea. We're bound to bump into the Klingon. And they don't exactly like you.
This is exposition.
Engine room.
That's Scotty.
Muster, mister?
Mr. Muster. Muster.
And so apparently t-shirts and jeans are still around in the 23rd century. This is the only... You know, usually on Next Generation or on Star Trek, they always have these weird, like, futuristic, like, you know, fabric-y things.
Well, here's the thing. Each Star Trek series is in a different time sort of slot in the future.
Yeah.
And...
So they come back just
so
for this movie?
So things come back in fashion. You know, sort of like, remember in the 90s how Looney Tunes shirts were really in fashion?
Well,
it's very similar.
Okay. So like, Go Climb a Rock t-shirts were really big in the late 23rd century.
Yeah. You know, like, God Don't Make Trash. So, like, very fashionable.
And so is...
Todd.
Yeah,
like, everyone loves Jewish girls, that?
Everyone loves a Jewish girl. Fashionable again. Everyone loves a Klingon girl.
I think the subtext of this is she's in love with
right.
the warrior.
So there's a love story on the Klingon word of prayer.
No, I think Shatner's daughter is just trying to make this movie more textured and layered. And
then this shot, interesting camera.
You could only make a sheet of paper so layered.
To look down on it and then turn.
You're always handing things to her.
That's hilarious.
It's kind of like when we went through college graduation. As soon as we walked up and everybody shook hands, the political science department shook hands with the president of the college, we all handed him a golf tee.
Why'd you do that?
So he'd have to figure out what to do with all these golf tees while standing up in the middle of the stage.
Is that a tradition or is that...
Apparently.
So if this was a tradition and they had to do golf tees every year, wouldn't you figure out a contingency plan?
Different departments did different things. The nursing department handed him condoms.
Those are easier to put away.
Probably less useful to him.
Galactic Army of Light. I haven't seen those in other shows.
I don't think you will.
Are those...
Well, you did see them floating around in the Senate in Phantom Menace.
What, with the ETs?
Yes.
Here's a question. Is this film worse than Episode 1?
Yes. No. Yes. No.
Different bad. It's bad and it's like... It's sort of like, having sex with your sister versus having sex with someone with herpes. Both you don't want to do, but one you can accidentally do and not realize you made a mistake, which is the case with Star Wars, and the other one you sort of knew what you were getting into, which is the case with having sex with your sister. Right now I feel like I'm having sex with my sister. It wasn't very funny, but it was really apt.
What position?
Anal.
Second question.
Hi, Tiff.
Now, as I was saying before, we were arguing that this is worse than Star Trek Nemesis, which is, of course,
yes.
The worst Next Generation movie.
Yes.
You say it is?
I say Nemesis is worse.
Yeah, I think this is worse.
You see, the reason Nemesis is worse... Here's the problem with Nemesis. Nemesis started out with a grand idea of... They put something of... the idea of dichotomy, contrasting one person with their doppelganger. And then that went onto a whiteboard in a conference room someplace. And everybody said, let's see how many more dichotomies we can do. So now we've got Picard against his clone. We've got the clone's first officer against Riker... fighting in the bowels of the Enterprise and falling down for no apparent reason. We've got Data against the new Data with a blank hard drive doing that comparison. And they kept running these comparisons with the old, the other guy's ship and the Enterprise ship. And they just kept running, forcing that dichotomy and that whole philosophy. And none of it absolutely worked, but you could see that it, what they were kind of trying to do until the committee got a hold of it and really destroyed it.
Right, so it was a good film at one point, and it got completely ruined.
And it got completely ruined.
This was never a good film.
This was never a good film, and quite frankly, you went into this with lower expectations. I mean, Shatner was directing it to begin with. So you knew it wasn't going to be, you know, Wrath of Khan. So there are naturally lower expectations, and you can accept a little more camp in this. But Nemesis had ideas until the script got completely out of hand, and that's what happens when you let Brent Spiner write a script. The other problem with Nemesis, that Nemesis has that this doesn't, is it features Wesley Crusher in a Starfleet uniform after he turned treason on the Federation and flew off into a different dimension with the Traveler after putting Federation and Cardassian troops at risk.
Now you love it. I was mostly wondering why that last scene took place in a seafood restaurant.
Twice as much
time as you ordinarily. Apparently Deck 11 has the theme restaurants. But that is
standard practice. But, you know, the holodeck
is the sushi with Roe connected to Ensign Roe?
We have no idea what you're talking about. We're honestly trying to think of something funny being a comedian, but we're just sitting there being like, he could be making things up right now. We totally lost it. We were making jokes about like Long John Silver on the holodeck. Like, we know holodeck. That's what we know. We know the things about Star Trek that would allow us to masturbate, which includes Klingon sex, the holodeck,
Ponfar,
and George Takei.
I'll tell you that. Then you're missing out on Ensign Roe.
Ensign Roe is coming out. Ensign Roe was in the Big Salad episode of Seinfeld.
Very true.
What did he/she play? Is it a woman or?
A woman. She played George's girlfriend. She gave Elaine the Big Salad, even though George paid for it, and he got really pissed off.
I guess when you're coming up with the idea, but
I really have no guilt about talking about Seinfeld on a Star Trek commentary when it's this movie.
It looks like they're taking it down to Paradise City.
Yeah, but it's Paradise City after they kick Stephen Popcorn Adler out of the band. And also, by this point, everyone had to be promoted. So, yeah. This is a ship full of captains. Like, the guy who cleans up your shit is a captain. This is like those old firehouses where, like, nobody's ever transferred out of the firehouse, and you got a 55-year-old guy coiling up the fire hose, and they call him rookie, and they send him out for coffee, and he's 55. This is Starfleet equivalent of the Breezy Point firehouse.
What confuses me, and maybe, again, you two could help me, is I was always told when Star Trek officers wore red shirts, they weren't going to fare well.
Well, do you think anybody's faring
well? But they're all... they're all in this film.
Shatner is explaining the laws of physics to us.
He understands light and dark.
So did Grover.
Light?
Oh, wait, right now, this could be the worst part of the movie.
I hope this works. No, that doesn't. Wait a minute. We have to get another light over there. And that's 15 minutes, a half an hour. And
of naked Nichelle.
Who's?
The same way.
He'll see.
Okay, I'm sorry. So you have to...
I'd like to say, when I originally saw this movie, which was on videotape in like 1990, this scene is what made me lose interest.
A naked woman in a film made you lose interest?
Yes. Let me ask you this, Mike.
Yes.
How many women are in this film?
Four. And two of which are played by the same actress, I think.
So you came up with this idea of her doing a dance?
Please don't tell me.
Oh, that's right. We
no.
Distract the soldiers.
Right. So you
come along and hear somebody dancing in the dark.
And it's Nichelle.
And Nichelle had has great games.
She's got cellulite. She's 55 years old.
And that's all we need.
My question is, she has to be a high-ranking officer at this point in time on the ship.
And then the captain's plan is, you get naked. We beam down to the planet. And now, guys with guns surround you.
Now, I know Gene Roddenberry. I've actually know a little bit. Wasn't a misogynist. He really wanted women on the ships, right?
Yes.
So I would imagine that there was another woman. Maybe one, like a lieutenant.
Someone younger, maybe.
Someone younger.
Yes, but...
How about the girl that kept taking the clipboards from Shatner?
Thank you.
That would have been okay.
Nichelle's manager must have gone, no.
This is my moment.
This is my moment.
She has a shot of her thighs?
Yes. All three of them.
Unicorn. So apparently, Mr. Spock now is worried about the Minox, which is why he's wearing that mask.
Yes.
There are a lot of these technical problems of things getting lost, trucks getting lost.
Horses being blue.
How do you lose a truck?
Right. No, they were blue.
Cow horses. Horses that were on a farm the day before.
Chekhov heard the shots on the ground and was visibly startled. This is their negotiation. Have him talk to Chekhov. Tell him Chekhov's the captain. Then Kirk runs around and punches everybody. See?
Because you always want the oldest, most senior officer being the one going down playing infantry, staring at Nichelle's ass.
And see, this is always a problem with Star Trek, was when they created Next Generation, Riker was supposed to beam down a planet, Picard would stay on the bridge. Patrick Stewart got really bored. So they had to design him a jacket.
And Riker sucked.
Riker got fat.
TJ Hooker also.
Yeah, TJ Hooker's my stunt double.
No, he was the coordinator, wasn't he?
And his brother died.
I just want to be clear right now that Shatner misunderstood his daughter, agreed with her, and then she had to correct him, which he immediately just agreed blindly again.
What's going on with TJ Hooker?
Well, they used the same stunt double.
Same
for Shatner.
Stunt coordinator.
Stunt coordinator.
Oh.
That was the correction.
Well, you see, I know enough to direct the movie.
Your forms will go crazy with this now. That you did not know.
We do have a play call form. I think there's been 4 posts on it.
Zoobly zoo!
Yeah, zoobly zoo.
Zoobly zoo.
Did you say zoobly zoo?
Zoobly zoo!
Zoobly zoo!
Isn't that what Grady used to say on Sanford's? Good zoobly zoo!
This is actually half of the fan art I've drawn has been Shatner having sex with the cat lady.
And she's on his shoulders.
And he just threw her into the pool table.
Get it? It's a pool! I just got it. That's great. I love this movie.
I love she hits the water and she's immediately dead.
Well, cats and water.
And she's face first. Would you mind handing over your weapon? David Warner in a very humiliating role.
Wasn't he the bad guy in Tron?
Yeah, he's also the bad guy in Star Trek VI.
Oh.
And he was evil in Time Bandits.
Has he ever played a good guy? Well, he's British.
Yeah. Not in Hollywood. Did they lose? Wait. Shatner went to the bar, killed everybody, and they lost?
Well, because the Vulcan who looks like Sean Connery pulled the painful memories out of the hostages who were high-ranking Starfleet, Romulan, and Klingon ambassadors. And then the ambassadors pointed their weapons at Kirk et al. And took them prisoner.
So the hostages took the rescuers prisoner?
Yes.
I really didn't get that.
Well, that's because you haven't had your most painful memory extracted by a Vulcan.
Because this is my most painful memory.
It's Spock and Sybok.
That guy's head looks like a butt. Right there. Right over his shoulder.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about the Klingon, but no.
No, not the Klingon. That doesn't look like a butt.
It's like a butt turned inside out.
It's like if they were trying to, like,
no, it was like if you made a mold of a butt, that's what the mold would look like. And you could pour resin on that and make another butt.
More traditional characters, though. I think Larry's natural charisma.
I think we've gone off topic.
Help illustrate the point.
There was a topic?
Yes.
Yes.
Chatter agrees.
Yes.
Anybody get the feeling that Shatner's tired of watching this movie already?
We're more excited than Shatner.
I got the feeling
we've been drinking a lot of Red Bull, to be honest.
He was tired of watching the movie when he read the first draft.
Misguided, kind of, but well-meaning in the end.
This commentary definitely has the feeling of Shatner's in the third grade, has a science project due tomorrow.
He's getting his mom to do it.
And he's getting, and he went to bed at 7, and his mom stayed up all night finishing it for him. And then he woke up in the morning and was kind of like, oh, hey, thanks, Mom. And just walked out.
But the only difference is his mom is his daughter.
Yeah, his mom is his daughter, which is crazy.
That means he's his own grandpa.
That's so Star Trek.
Of course.
I think that was just Shatner acting.
Yeah, I think Shatner gave him a lot of line readings on that. That was like take 10. No, you're not getting it. More of a pause. And apparently it's really easy to take over a ship because he just got the senior officers and said, give me your ship. They said no. He said, fine.
Now,
and everybody cheers.
Well, the ship is in pieces.
But they don't know that.
I mean, it's not like it's the Enterprise E. It's the Millennium Falcon.
Now, why are the Klingons here?
The Klingons are here because they heard the distress call go out because their ambassador was captured as well. And these are the Klingons who were shooting the satellite space junk because they just want to fight and be warriors. So they thought they could go fight the people who took the ambassadors hostage, but those hostages aligned with the kidnappers and are now taking over the Enterprise.
How are you following this?
Slowly.
Klingonese language.
No, you've seen this a lot of times.
Yeah, how many times have you seen this? Yeah.
This is really the Finnegan's Wake of movies.
This is the third Jason time.
Learn the Klingon language.
And they would study it, and he would teach them. And they went on,
yeah, you know, this might be the second time for me.
I've never seen this movie.
Shatner is now talking about how they learned to speak Klingon.
Perfect example.
I almost followed Crime Wave.
Why is there track lighting in this shuttlecraft?
JCPenney had a deal.
It's the future.
The future is track lighting.
I just want to
the future is JCPenney.
I just want to be clear on everything. Why they're wearing sweaters? It's the future. Why like everything has weird lighting? It's the future. Why that guy's head looks like a butt? Once again, future. Star Trek has taught me that everyone looks like humans, but their heads are weird. Their heads are weird.
They're not quite sweaters. They're like those Interpol uniforms. It's like field command.
Interpol.
Yeah.
And it kept going out.
There's an Interpol.
I know. Chun-Li belongs to it. Chun-Li is in Interpol. From Street Fighter, for those of you who...
Banshee was in Interpol, too. But Professor X recruited him out of Interpol.
Well, yeah. It's Interpol.
Time on that one, too.
And they wear those sweaters.
Let them rewind and continue on.
I'm glad they let Michelle dress and put on a sweater. Like they could have just given her a shirt after running around naked. But
yeah, she could have run around in an oversized Kirk T-shirt. Okay, now this is my big scene. I need dramatic lighting.
Wait, well, why are they all on the shuttlecraft together? I thought he was just going to leave them there and take it over if they're not going to help.
Because he doesn't just leave people behind. He has to heal them. He's a good guy.
But he said, I'm going to take over the ship.
Yes.
And now they're just flying him up to the ship?
He's going
to
keep them prisoner.
So they're still being held hostage?
Yes. Well, now Kirk and Sulu and them, they're being held hostage. The ambassadors, the previous hostages,
right, they're
are
on
now Cybok's
side. Okay.
Trying to link a shot so that you get as many people in as possible.
Uh-oh, here come those crazy Klingons.
Flash the camera around.
So Klingons are just going to shoot down a shuttlecraft for no reason.
Well, they're warriors.
This movie is so much more confusing than I was led to believe.
Like that.
How long did it take, Bill? Oh.
Tens of minutes. Tens of minutes of setting up cameras and telling them to
Wait, why are they firing at the shuttlecraft when it's already in the ship?
Oh!
The Enterprise is totally ducked out of the way of that. You know, there are times in Star Trek... I've watched a lot of Star Trek. I'm not a big Star Trek fan. There's a lot of stuff I don't remember, but I've seen a good chunk of it. But... there are moments where I feel like, wow, this is really another universe, like the Star Wars universe, where it's really something. And there are other moments where I'm watching a crappy TV show.
And what point are you on right now?
Oh, I'm leaning towards the latter.
But it's a movie.
Exactly.
Okay, okay.
It still feels like a crappy,
crappy TV show. Right.
How did the Klingons ever develop warp drive? Set,
although it appears big, has large...
They had it in Enterprise, didn't they?
But
yeah.
Totally attached. We got a lot of perspective there with walls blocking your view from where they were attached.
I think there's
oh, by the way,
well, wait a second, wait a second. Shatner just told us that we got perspective from walls blocking your view from where they're attached.
What does that mean?
Apparently walls are attached to something and you can't see through them.
Also again lost in moving the shuttles. We had to find a different way to move the shuttlecraft around.
The floor of our set was built over
the antique vault
of Irma. Mm-hmm.
You can actually... No, I'm not one to do this nerdy thing, but you can actually see... Well, you could. When he lifted him, there were strings coming off his belt.
Really?
Yeah, where like the...
You know, that's something that you would want to find on a commentary.
That looks like he just made that weapon.
That's like
at a plumbing store.
Yeah, yeah. At a pipe.
Yeah.
Big dramatic scene.
Another example of Leonard's.
Will Spock kill his brother?
Oh, is that his brother?
Brothers that he was, I think, constantly trying to find ways to. He wouldn't.
Wow. See, that's a problem when you direct yourself. You look at that take and go, yes.
What his character would do, Leonard forced us. Make wonderful changes that only added to the plot, and he stayed true to his character.
See, Leonard had to force them to make good stuff.
It's truthfulness. Mm-hmm. Forcing the writers to be as truthful.
You want to accompany me?
To Alderaan.
You look up. I can't go to Alderaan. My place is here.
That is your uncle talking. Again, we are angering every Star Trek fan who could possibly listen to this by just quoting Star Wars over.
Well,
yes, I'm going to spend 20 minutes talking about Lord of the Rings.
The ways to split the characters was what took imagination, and trying to split the characters exercised our creativity was difficult to find. And
what the hell is he talking about?
I was hoping when he ended that sentence, he would have clarified it.
I think that when you're acting in a Star Trek film, there's an element of energy, urgency, that is part of the style of Star Trek. But I wouldn't think of it as being any less real than any kitchen sink drama, except there's a kind of energy that should be there.
Now, as opposed to boring plays like Look Back in Anger...
Or the Iceman Cometh.
Or the Iceman Cometh, or Streetcar Named Desire. Star Trek has energy.
What the hell was that?
Well, he mentioned it twice in the same sentence, so I assumed it was important. Wow, Nemo's looking fat in these sweaters. Nobody looks good in these sweaters.
It's the future, man.
Oh, well, that's classic Shatner right there.
I ordered you to defend your ship. You ordered me to kill my brother. But the man that you fell in love with, that doesn't... You do not understand. Cyborg.
You mean he likes you, likes you?
This is like a Neil Simon play now.
I would love this movie to definitely go Mamet right now, where they just, like, speak really fast, repeat lines back to each other.
And I'd like Jack Lemmon to walk into it right now.
I like how in this whole scene, we've got, it's two cameras, so we focus on Shatner on the tight shot, and then focus on the Spock and Nimoy in the, or Spock and McCoy in the same
Yeah, they're
shot.
In a medium shot, he's in a close-up. Right
there. There's no reason for McCoy to be there.
I think one interview I did, somebody asked me...
McCoy looks like death. I know that he's dead now, but he...
And that's not something you want to...
He literally looks like he should be carrying a scythe.
That's not what you want to see in a doctor.
The thing is, you're not saying he looks like he's dead. He looks like the Grim Reaper himself.
He literally looks like
death. He looks like he's coming to take the rest of the crew. You know what that sounds like? That sounds like when somebody tells you about a comic that you hate.
Yes, yes.
That's like when somebody goes, "Hey, that Dane Cook, he's a really good stand-up."
Yeah, I like him.
There have been precedents, though, for the crew having been taken over in a variety of other ways in other episodes.
So we've done this story a number of times.
A common trope in Star Trek is people on the ship who shouldn't be.
Because that way we get to use the sets with guest stars.
And the antics that follow, yes.
They should try, like, a fence or something.
This commentary that we're listening to has inadvertently said how bad this film is. 8 or 9 times.
I'm sure your character stayed consistent also.
Right.
I like in this commentary that Shatner basically admits he made a bad movie, but he's trying to explain why. Now, if you listen to, say, the commentary for Batman and Robin, Joel Schumacher still thinks he made a good movie and no one understands it. And that I find way more insulting.
George Clooney apologizes for that movie at every opportunity.
Oh, yeah, at every press conference.
Yeah.
Now, again, it may just be the future, but I believe you can see... his man boob.
Well, you know, people have evolved. Where, McCoy's?
No, Spock's, right? He's out of frame now. For those of you, 57 and about 35 seconds into it, man boob. Look for it. His shirt looks like a big face.
Shirt looks like the land of lost sleep stacks. And these are the next generation hallways that they just use.
Yeah, sorry.
Because, you know, apparently in the 100 years between Star Trek and Next Generation, not much really changes.
Well, once you get the hallway down.
What's on the screen? Is that
it's a reflection of the fluorescent lights.
Because they're watching it from inside jail.
And you're in the future, everyone's held in by fluorescent lights.
Well, have you ever actually, like, they're scary.
Well, they make noise.
Oh, you don't want to break a light bulb, because then you have glass on the floor.
And it's got that powder in it.
Yeah.
Wait, is there a chair in front of the view screen on the bridge?
Yeah.
Is that the lookout station?
Yeah, well, you know.
Captain, there's the planet.
Iceberg, get ahead! I like how during this commentary we're just gradually moving closer to the microphone.
Yeah, well.
Well, we're getting more excited about it.
Because there's going to be a point where we'll actually try to kill ourselves.
There's current running through it.
Yes. We're all going to jump into a bathtub and take it with us. And
I would like to state on record now that I bought this DVD for $10. And it was 2 discs.
That's about $5 too much per disc.
That's my only excuse. Now, why does Shatner doesn't have a full collar? But everybody, you see that he's got like it's almost like a priest in the Bizarro universe.
Well, in the future, actually, the higher rank you are, the less collar you have. So, like,
an admiral's in a wife beater.
Right. Well, if you notice, Spock also has Shorakawa. The Doctor, though, very high collar. Mm-hmm. And lower-ranking officials wear ski masks.
I think Shatner just put the shirt on backwards.
That's an S. A. N. D. And a word. New word. B.
This scene is comedy.
This is riveting. This is what you call pacing.
Yes.
Star Trek is a wagon. There was a popular series on the air at the time Star Trek first went on called Wagon.
Look at the drywall that the Enterprise is made out of.
Yeah. Made out of drywall and aluminum foil.
That's how you go to warp drive.
We're going to use some gum on this. Some styrofoam.
Bad guys and good guys. If you get out into open space. There was some controversy over this.
Yeah, because the pipes on the bottom had to open and close so the camera could track
properly. In order to get the camera on this thing, we had to open and close the pipes.
Yeah.
Where have I heard that before?
Why is Shatner there? Why isn't his daughter just doing the commentary?
Liz Shatner, if this gets to you in any way, you're an amazing woman. And you must put up with so much, and I want to tell you that I appreciate.
Yeah, Scotty just knocked himself unconscious.
No, I saw it. It was very comical. New Hope.
Following
it's very Stormtrooper in the Death Star.
Guess what, Star Trek nerds? Happen in Star Wars. Again, Liz Shatner.
I can only imagine what Thanksgiving's like at the Shatner home.
You're a bell. That's all I have to say.
As Shatner describes how the turkey came out, we put this in the oven.
We stuffed it. We stuffed it.
I want to go to Thanksgiving. Shatner's.
The turkey has a button on it, and when the button comes out, the turkey's done.
Okay, so I got lost at the point. Is Sulu helping them take over the ship?
Yes.
Oh, they converted Sulu?
They converted Sulu.
How are you following this?
He's now a
You're sitting the furthest away from the television. And you're getting it.
I'm less affected by the waves of crap emanating from it.
You're actually paying attention
to the
story.
Yeah, you're paying attention to the story. Yeah, see, we're listening to, like, what they're saying.
We're trying to find things to mock. You're actually... See, we need you. You're the linchpin. Mike and I would be completely lost right now.
Here comes Spock in his anti-gravity boots that are never used in another show.
Strapped into these contraptions.
Are they going to dance? He was like, me? Well,
I've seen this in a movie.
In this movie?
So that black line and that shadow behind him, that has nothing to do with the device holding him, right?
Oh, no, no.
Okay.
That's part of the Enterprise.
Part of the Enterprise.
The Enterprise has black lines and shadows. And
you see what I'm talking about? Like,
yes, it looks like it looks an actual like track.
They have enormous belt buckles.
Oh, now, come on. Shatner just... Wow, Shatner just pointed out a continuity error on purpose.
Wait, let's see if he explains why.
Wow.
Yeah, Shatner mentioned that they passed 52 twice. And he doesn't explain why. As far as he's concerned, it's the entire universe is with the sound of his voice.
Yeah. No, we're almost at a disc, aren't we?
No, we got 10 minutes. But we have another disc, so we can do the whole thing.
That was some meta commentary on the commentary. For those of you who are,
we don't have an engineer.
For those of us who are us listening to this later. I shouldn't be saying this. Klingon woman, not terrible.
Well, the Roy's wearing low-cut tops.
I've hooked up with worse.
hooked up with worse.
So have I. But you know what? Klingon women tend to be trim.
They tend to be trim. They tend to be aggressive. I appreciate that.
Yeah, they're going to make the first move, which is always good for a nerd. The
set was interesting, too.
A little too much makeup, which is sort of surprising for a warrior culture.
Yeah, well.
It's war paint. It's not makeup. It's face paint.
Oh, we're back in the seafood restaurant.
Instead of using movie magic, we used a theatrical device called a scrim. And it was done with lighting. I don't remember why. I suspect it's so
Shatner has... I don't know if the two of you agree. Shatner has these moments where he actually captures me. And I'm like, and I'm listening to him and I'm like, wow, you're actually making a really good, and then he drops it.
Well, he completely undercuts his own authority.
Like, it's like, we didn't use movie magic here. We thought it would be more proper to use a scrim, which is a theatrical device I picked up in my theater days. I don't know why we did it. And then it's like, oh.
I don't even know what it is.
And that's the beauty of the Shat.
The man doing the lightning called it a scrim. They actually told me to say it to their friends. They giggled a bit. They said it was funny, so I still
used it. They told me to give them a scrim job. I said, can we do that through the whole movie? They said, you might get tired.
My mother told me not to say it anymore when I mentioned it at Christmas.
I had the strangest dream. I dreamt that a madman had taken over the Enterprise.
It's Kirk.
I dreamt that a madman was directing the film.
Oh, wow. She's part Klingon.
You could wait till I'm a wee bit stronger. I don't think I could take it in my present condition. Oh.
Does she ever confess that she loves... Does she love him? Does...
That would have been a good story.
Does Scotty have jungle fever?
But he's a Stevie Wonder fan. That might be your first clue.
Fair enough.
If you're close, it's even a bigger event. So that's one we gave DeForest based on.
So what are they talking about right here?
I have no idea.
I have no idea.
I think DeForest was also very reluctant at first to do that scene because he felt like as a doctor he wouldn't pull the plug.
Now, this guy seems really emotional for a Vulcan.
Well, I think that's his hook. He's the emotional Vulcan.
The emotional Vulcan?
Yeah.
That's an SNL sketch, isn't it?
It would have been had they not already put it in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Accepting the fact that he would pull the plug.
To preserve the dignity.
He's also a balding Vulcan, so he can't get the bangs.
That's like, the whole movie would work better as an SNL sketch.
That's actually a sitcom. It's like, he's an emotional Vulcan, she's a passive Klingon, and like, together they're newlyweds. And like, the family visits for Christmas, and it's weird.
And the wacky admiral from Starfleet lives downstairs.
Yeah, and they have to live on a starbase.
And then there's like a Cardassian who brings a little color to it.
Yeah, he like, runs the shop they all eat at. He's got a coffee shop going.
A great scene for him, he hadn't been able to really show his acting chops for a while. Here was an opportunity, but
for about 30 years.
Do anything inconsistent with the character. So
is it offensive to call a Cardassian a card-ass?
No.
Oh.
I think it's perfectly fine. Well, during the war, no. Rules relaxed.
What I think I'm asking, and one of you can answer this for me, are there racial slurs?
McCoy is the biggest racist you'll find.
No, but I mean for like character, like for like Klingons or Vulcans,
like are there
green-blooded
terms?
Freak?
It just doesn't have the ring to it that other racial slurs, which I won't say.
You're looking for a word like Vulky.
Vulky, like hey Vulky, don't logicize our schools.
You can't trust the Vulkies.
Right, exactly. The Klingers.
You know those Klingers always wearing dresses.
I'm seeing that line that I should not cross. Yeah. I'm trying really hard to not cross it. Just like a Klinger.
Yeah, that was a fake shadow.
Get him moving into the neighborhood.
Yeah, you're one of the good ones.
Can't send out a satellite without it being shot.
You're one of the good ones, K-Rock.
Good.
You know, when you're putting a scene in a movie just so the actors can show off their acting chops, it's a bad scene.
That's actually probably not advancing the story.
That's actually called a reel, an acting reel.
Portfolio, basically.
Portfolio.
Yeah. So this is a scene about euthanasia in the middle of the movie.
Yes. Does that push out marshmallows? Or no. No.
This is the bad marshmallow dispenser.
Wait, is he about to kill him?
Yeah, I think he's going to turn his Craftmatic bed up to pulverizing.
I think he's reliving euthanizing his father.
Who is this?
That's his father.
That's his father?
But he's not actually there. So this is the Sean Connery.
This is
pulling McCoy's most painful memory out of him.
Whoa.
How does turning off the mattress kill his father?
This is the future. Again, I need to remind you guys that when we're 300, 400 years in the future, there's some suspension of disbelief.
People will live on down.
It's the Craftmatic adjustable health.
New Tempur-Pedic soul.
It took time to convince DeForest to do this movie.
It took time to convince DeForest to leave his trailer.
Now, William, I've acted for a long time, as you well know. And I'm reading this script, and it looks like it was written over a weekend. Do I have to be in the film? Yes. Okay.
But D, it won't be the same if we're not all together.
With you standing in the background.
We will be a team.
We might get a scene where you get to hug Sean Connery. If he signs on. Well.
And as soon as he signs on, he goes, oh, Sean dropped out. We have this guy who's done regional theater and a couple of episodes of Alice.
We have some guys from Summerstock filling in.
These familiar characters going in areas that they've never gone before.
Vagina.
I think
in
my...
The vagina.
Being a half-breed, and he had objected initially to this scene as not being strong enough.
So both Leonard Nimoy and DeForest Kelly did not want to do the one scene that let them shine.
Actually added a scene.
What does that tell you?
Oh, we're witnessing Spock's birth. Now, now is Spock...
So his painful memory is being born. Sounds like Spock is suicidal.
which half of Spock is Vulcan?
His father.
Now, okay, I've already asked about Klingon sex. Vulcan sex. Is it like...
It's almost as violent as Klingon sex.
Is it really?
It happens only once every 7 years, and once a Vulcan goes into heat, you're in trouble.
Well, if he doesn't get laid, he dies.
So that's like my parents.
They start...
Once every few years...
Ask them how their pond far is doing.
No. No.
Outright refuse.
Wait, so did he kill his mother by coming out?
No, his mother's still alive.
But it's his most painful memory because the thing that troubles Spock most is his dual identity and the conflicts of his human emotion versus his Vulcan side.
I think it just says that Spock doesn't want to live.
So is that like... No, go ahead. There's a lot of emotion in this film.
It's misplaced. But there's a lot of emotion. A
lot of sexual anger, too.
Yeah, but it's mostly anger.
Being able to work the scene out with these characters, this motion, going from face to face, staging it just so the choreography of it pleased me.
So he's dancing.
See, this to me is...
Fame. I want to live forever.
Well, it's good Shatner now.
I don't want my pain taken away. I need my pain.
You need some.
That's the only moment I really remember from this film.
I need my pain.
I need my pain.
Captain, I'm afraid you'll have to remain here. Spock, Dr. McCoy, come with me.
Bitches, let's go. Why are they dressed like that now? They're not...
In the field jackets?
They're not in Tatooine anymore.
Because they've been prisoners ever since. They're not going to let them get changed. of course they're indoors. You'd think they would need the sweater.
The outcast boy you left behind was many years ago. Now, is he half-brother or full-brother?
I think he's half-brother. I think this guy's full Vulcan, right? He's
not Vulcan. Yes, correct.
Sidewalk managed to split the three of them up.
By the force of his philosophy.
Oh, I thought it was said ferocity.
No, he said philosophy.
That shirt looks like a face. I know I keep saying it, but...
It does. The more I look at it.
Reef.
If we do, will that convince you that my vision was true? And then I wanted it unresolved before we went down to the...
I wanted to resolve a couple things before we started blowing each other.
Let's get a couple of things straight, then the blowjobs.
Your vision, given to you by God. All right.
I've got a couple of ground rules.
Whip it out.
No teeth.
The God planet.
Yeah, we're going to the God planet now.
Yeah, the whole point
is that heaven? Is it heaven or is it called God planet?
The whole idea is to find God.
God lives on a planet. That's the high concept of this film.
Wasn't there a song like that once? Like, what if God
was one of us?
One of us lived on a planet like one of us?
No, he didn't live on a planet.
Was half Vulcan like some of us? I think that's a song, yeah.
On his way home?
On his way home.
So how did they get to the center of the universe in a day? It took Voyager like 80 years. So
it ended up being Voyager wasn't made yet. They didn't know how big the universe was.
Ah. The universe got fat.
Well, the thing is, okay.
Wait.
Isn't it expanding as it's been explained to me, like a balloon that's being blown? Obviously, they must be.
That's completely juvenile.
It's expanding from some point.
Well, at any rate.
His daughter's now fed up.
According to him, there...
Liz Shatner. There is an open invitation. I will take you out for dinner. Because of how much you rein in your father.
I'd say you're about 20 minutes from proposing to Liz
Shatner.
Open
invitation. No, nothing required. You don't have to impress me. Don't dress nice. You've already stolen my heart.
What kind of food do you think you'll be going to?
I'm going to probably say Olive Garden because last Christmas I got a gift card.
Get some crazy bread.
Oh, yeah. No. Free bread refills. And honey, anything you want off the menu. If you want the tour of Italy, that's cool.
And that is, there is a group of painters that were in America, Hudson River 7. I think they're called. And there was an exhibition in New York City. I happened to be in New York, and I went to the exhibition.
Why?
And there was the painter's Storm Over the Rockies. I think it was Man of the Minute. And I thought, that's the God planet, because the whole philosophy of the Hudson River painters was God's investment in nature. That nature is reflective of God.
Now, do you think when...
I brought that...
I know that Shatner's sort of known for his, like, slow enunciation of words and space between words. But to me, and I don't know if you two agree again, this seems like when you have to do an assignment, like a paper, you're given 5 pages, and then you really, push in the margins and, like, get
right.
that.
Yeah.
Kenning, I think, is the word for the space between words.
Right. Kerning.
Kerning. All right, because there's an umlaut over the O.
Kenning is something on your oiled Asian men's sword site.
Oh, yes, because Kenning's a type of,
That's when the oiled Japanese men attack Ken.
No, I think a Kenning is actually like Whale Road in Beowulf. No, like it's a combined word. It's a combined word. I'm not done. It's a combined word when you, like, combine two nouns that are meant to sort of, like a riddle almost, address another object.
Like railroad?
No.
I honestly thought it was really bad. You took two nouns, you put them together, and you get another word.
No, like, but if you...
railroad or bookstore.
No.
That was as insightful
Or washing as machine.
William, that was as insightful as a William Shatner movie commentary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I I think we've been you've been listening to him too long. Hey, they changed their uniforms.
I think that should.
Back to the red shirts.
Well, you gotta look good to meet God.
Now is the planet God, or is God on the planet?
God's supposedly on the planet.
Why they call it the God planet?
Because that's where God lives. You know, if I went to your house, I wouldn't say Williamsburg. I would go, we're going to go to the Drucker house.
You'd say Mike's house.
Yes. There it's in God's planet.
And I never did. And one of us was wrong. And I'm not sure whether they were wrong or I was wrong.
You were wrong, Bill.
I don't remember seeing it. Special effects shots dribble in. The special effects people finish one, they work on another.
That's just real respect for the department. Their shots just dribble in.
You know, there's a science fiction film.
I trip over them with a nail.
So occasionally, while making this film, we contacted the special effects department because we thought they might have something to say, something to add. Most of science fiction's acting.
It took you some convincing that you didn't need the gun on the God planet because Kirk would always take a gun.
That's
that
right.
Was another big character hassle.
Exactly.
I love how the story is filled with character hassles.
Everyone's annoyed.
Damn story characters. Yep.
The Jeopardy would be threatened.
It's Pat Sajak in an ultimate fighting champion battle against Alex Trebek.
In other words, the danger would be precarious.
The trouble would be
now
in trouble.
Here is real. This is a real set.
The oxymorons are just flying.
How do you shoot on a fake set?
I thought the location should look like, and they drew it up. And here comes the guy, the location manager.
He doesn't know his name.
What was drawn?
Was it Ridgecrest, the same place where you had filmed the rest of the stuff?
Right, and when we were on location search, and I saw this mountain, the sun was coming up behind that mountain, behind that peak. And I said, this is where we have to shoot it, and we're going to come back there in a month to shoot it. So we had to figure out what time of the day that sun would be in that position, and we would have needed that shot to place that camera at that time of day.
9 a.m.
Was it 9 a.m? So and that was a month later. So the time was getting longer.
Didn't he say it was dawn? Now it's 9 a.m.
Just peeking behind that, right there, like that.
Do you think Liz Shatner has notes with her? Or
she does. She has to.
That's
real.
Because Shatner's style of delivery is
like a real shot.
That's a real shot.
It's like a kid telling a story.
Yeah.
Like last Christmas, it wasn't Christmas, but it was like the day before Christmas. I got a present because it was early Christmas time.
That you could have done all that CGI.
And I opened it.
Well, the whole thing would be different now, probably.
Right.
You could do that ending that you want.
I think you would have rewritten the script too, Bill.
Cheaper than one location shot.
You draw it up, exactly.
Yeah.
You fake the whole thing, but then in those days you couldn't fake it.
Those days you actually had to get a ship and fly to a planet.
It was
and beam yourself down. It was very costly.
But it was much better for acting.
Because you're really in the moment. Okay, wait. Now they're wearing their field jackets on the Enterprise. But when they beam down to a planet again, now they're in the standard uniform.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's all volcanic.
With the boots.
You're going to look your best when you meet God.
Even if you have to scramble down a dusty hill.
What does the A on their belt buckles mean? Are they in the Avengers part-time?
That's the Star Trek end.
That's the Federation
symbol.
Oh,
so that's the Starfleet logo.
Yeah.
Oh.
Starfleet.
They still have the A of the Next Generation.
Okay, but it doesn't... On the belt buckles, it looks like the four the Fantastic Four would wear.
We know what it looks like. But we all respect it. God damn.
Why don't you make fun of the American flag while you're at it, Bill?
Really? Really? Why don't you burn a flag, you terrorist?
Why don't you shoot a bald eagle in the eye?
Got no respect.
Because then I can't go to the God planet.
That's right.
I was asked, well, how does the devil come out of the rock? And I had just seen a version of, or some part of, Wizard of Oz.
I thought he was going to mention like some French film.
Like it's going to be like Macbeth.
Yeah. The Wizard of Oz.
Wait. I had seen a version of
or some part of The Wizard of Oz. I couldn't get through the exposition.
I've actually seen The Wizard of Oz.
Or maybe I just had a dream about a flying monkey.
We bought the idea, and everybody went to work on how to make it look like that. And then the thought was, who are the gods? What god is that? And
that probably should have thought of that before you started the script.
Degree of disturbance because
what's going on?
I don't know.
Which then
they're all looking up, and then they show a down shot of these rocks.
Oh, is that like the Rock Monster in Neverending Story?
No, actually, they wanted to do Rock Monster, and they couldn't afford it, so just the rocks show up.
This is more like the Fortress of Solitude.
I like Superman.
I like defense.
Not really something funny, just want you guys to know that.
Well, who doesn't like
Superman?
Have
I made fun of Superman once in this commentary? No.
In fact, you're saying pretty positive things.
He's a good guy.
Set with these huge pillars of rock on it was quite magnificent, actually.
Yeah.
Thanks, Shat.
The sort of cathedral
of
where God
rock.
Or the devil might reside.
I was reading Milton.
Or a version of it, or some part of it.
Or a spark note summary.
You know, we were looking at some part of Huckleberry Hound.
Right, so we played to a non-existent God.
Actually, you set up a TV screen with the man, George Murdoch, who played God.
That's
set
right.
Set up a TV screen with his face in it so the actors would have something to look at.
He had recorded...
How long is this movie?
It's only got like 20 minutes.
Okay.
This is the big ending. Can't you feel that we've been building up to this moment?
I want to let you know, guys, I'm having fun. But not because of this movie.
In spite of it. God is blue lights on the floor in the smoke machine.
You mean God is dance fever?
Wow.
God really is dance fever.
Is it me, or did they spend more money on an episode of Next Generation at the time?
I think they spent more money on an episode of Dance Fever at the time.
Well, Danny Terrio, you know, he commanded a huge salary.
Is this God? Doesn't really seem like God.
The studio was very nervous about this sequence and wondering whether it would work or not. And after I'd shot it,
good call in the studio.
Came up to me and said it worked.
He was fired that afternoon.
No, he probably said it in the same resigned way, just sort of like, it's cool, whatever.
I gotta go.
Santa?
That's George Murdoch.
And George Murdoch I had directed in a play in Los Angeles, and he is a wonderful, powerful actor, and I thought he'd be perfect as the voice of God.
He looks a little bit like the interdimensional being from... the episode of Next Generation where they end up traveling to the center of the universe and meet a floating head for 3 weeks.
I was actually going to say the Emperor in Empire.
I was kind of thinking that it would be better if they hired Johnny Cash.
Oh, now you're just being funny. Stop.
Oh, now.
Stop that. Stop that.
How great would that have been? Just Johnny Cash's head. You could have put a beard on him. Hello. Welcome to the center of the universe. I'm Johnny Cash.
George had to.
Does he have shoulders or is he a floating head?
Yeah, shoulders. Look, you can see the curve.
I thought that was his beard.
He made us in his own fucking image. Was I allowed to swear?
All of it? Yeah.
Okay.
Well, now we have to put a warning on the website.
Do we really?
I swore in the first 5 minutes.
Okay. I think we needed the warning when we talked about anal sex with your sister.
Okay, yeah.
That's true.
That's kosher, though.
God made us in our... But you know what thing? God made us in our own fucking image. Now the religious right is on your ass.
Time out. Just to be clear, anal sex with someone you're related to is fine because there is no chance for reproduction. So someday I'll be running for Senate. I just want that to be out there on the internet.
So no inbred mutant babies.
No bread. Exactly.
Interesting to see a man who's dead sometime now. Totally alive on film. Every part of him.
Yeah.
Which guy's dead?
It's nice to have.
Oh, DeForest?
A lot of people, I'm sure.
Well, is God dead? That's what Nietzsche said.
What do you mean, Nietzsche?
Your old friend Danny.
Oh, they're all watching on the view screen.
Yeah.
Why is God angry? Why have you done this to my friend?
He doubts me.
You've not answered his question.
Shots, Spock.
Now, you see, in Christian the Christian story, when you doubt God, he asks you to put your finger in the holes in his hands and feet.
Well, that's
in Star Trek. He shoots you from his eyes.
Shoots you with his omega beams.
Yes.
Stop. That's getting bigger.
Do it.
And he's
God got a lot bigger.
Well, he's different colored eyes.
It's like Galactus. Like Galactus was like 12 feet tall in the first appearance.
You were wrong. On some American communists who were so filled with the love of their philosophy, and then Stalin's dictatorship became known and the disastrous things that Stalin had done, and that these people, lifelong communists, came to the realization subtly that their philosophy didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And they had spent all their years being passionate communists. There's a film on them, and I thought, a strange feeling it must be. What a disastrous moment in your life to find out that everything you believed in is of no avail.
So he's comparing God to communism?
No, he's like relatively clear right now. So he wrote this down.
He has misguided.
I was surprisingly coherent.
It was coherent, but it was still confusing. Now he sounds like Kiefer Sutherland in Dark City. Has nobody seen Dark City?
No, I've seen Dark City.
But he's like, the aliens have forgot to wipe your memory.
Cybok just ran into God and is now wrestling with himself.
Well, it's like the alternative factor where the matter and antimatter guy that looked like Jesus was fighting himself on that rocky plain outside the Lost in Space capsule. The Enterprise shooting God?
God exploded.
Come on!
Not the Fortress of Solitude.
I like Superman.
I do. I just want to be clear on that. I like Superman, guys.
Superman and Liz Shatner.
Yeah, now there's a movie.
Liz, I want to be clear. Open invitation.
I think you should Google Liz Shatner. Send her a link to this commentary.
I might do that.
Maybe you could be your MySpace friend.
Maybe, Liz.
I wonder if Liz is single.
I'm gonna.
You know, if she's not, wouldn't you just kill to have William Shatner as your father-in-law?
No.
Be giving you advice about your comedy career. You know what's really funny? When the doors don't open. Maybe you could do that on stage.
Threw tomatoes at a penguin. Comedy.
Penguins are funny.
Penguins are funny.
Tomatoes
are funny.
Twice as funny.
Envisioning coming out of the rocks and
yeah. Slowly gargoyles. Gargoyle, frightening, devil's minions.
Gargoyle, frightening, devil's minions.
It's dot com.
Maybe we should just buy that URL and put the commentary here. Gargoyle, frightful, devil's minions .com.
And I said, how am I going to do that? I said, that's your problem.
Apparently he wasn't getting a lot of support from the studio. Shut up.
Oh, there's those pesky Klingons again.
I still don't know why they're in the movie.
What the hell?
He's in a shuttlecraft? I thought he was back on the Enterprise.
They're back
on. Oh.
Was God in the shuttlecraft and started shooting at him?
No, I think the Enterprise is just falling apart.
Wait, did they beam up? What?
Yeah, they beamed up.
Wasn't that the villain on Get Smart? The Claw?
No, you're thinking of Inspector Gadget.
No, I'm thinking of Get Smart. The Claw! Claw!
Oh, maybe it was just Claw on Inspector
Claw.
Gadget.
Yeah. It was Dr. Claw on Inspector Gadget.
Dr. Claw.
I remember when Inspector Gadget ended, everybody said they showed Dr. Claw in the final episode, but I think they made that up.
Yeah.
I don't think they had a final episode. I think they just stopped production.
Now, the function of the Klingons throughout the story was to provide another element of suspense and...
Right, to hassle us, to...
to just annoy us.
Like the B story, in effect.
Wait, so is Kirk actually on board? Like, is...
No, Kirk's still on the planet.
Okay, so Spock actually can't lie.
Huh. They can't beam him up.
But he can speak in
because
code.
Their shields are up because the Klingons are attacking them? Now, why didn't he beam up with Spock and McCoy?
The limited power. Break? Remember, the transport is still broken.
Oh, and then Kirk said, you go ahead, you go first.
Exactly.
I'm the captain.
Can't take limited because the Enterprise is still in pieces because it never should have been sent on this mission to begin with.
Oh, I'll say.
Whoa. So God sort of functions like a level 35 beholder.
Kind
sort of floats around, can shoot.
Kind of like the Beyonder.
Oh.
Like before he got the Jerry curl. Wow, that's a wonderful shot. It's like the matting.
So instead of a rock man, you had a giant god face.
Even Liz Shatner's laughing at it now.
Not God.
They didn't shoot him, they beamed him up. Like a Neil Adams pose they beamed him up in.
Yeah.
This is all one, like, huge prank. And they're all going to be there and be like, Happy Birthday! And he's like, oh!
Spock and McCoy are on the bridge.
Oh.
It's like the game.
And there was some controversy over some editing here.
You had a timing issue with the length of the movie too. I think you had a 2-hour version and they pronounced you needed, I forget how many minutes, but enough to cause some anxiety.
And so there was a lot of controversy over what to edit.
So nobody edited the 20 minutes of Marshmallows?
No. Shatner made a 2-hour movie. Did they add to it or cut?
No, they cut it down. This thing's like 1 hour 45. Oh, look, it is the birthday party.
Fun.
Happy birthday.
And I go off to Lenny. It was all we could do during rehearsal not to crack up.
Why?
It was just a funny moment.
You know how Shatner knows comedy.
Balloons hanging off the back of his jacket at this
point.
What?
Well, now Liz has gone crazy. Are you going to rescind your offer?
Liz, we're going to have to split this meal 50-50. You can still order whatever you want, but you might have to pay for it.
Was God dead? Did the Klingons kill God?
Klingons killed God. And drink?
We'll drink Windex.
Would you care for a wee nip of Scotch whiskey?
I don't think that flask is Starfleet issue.
I'd ever be drinking with a Klingon.
Yeah, neither is Scotty's alcoholism.
Yeah.
Or his weight.
Yeah, I don't think any of them could pass a Starfleet physical.
Oh, no.
Not that bad. I mean...
See, look.
Maybe a little rough.
Well, George Takei likes it. What does that tell you?
Well,
that means she's slightly mannish.
By the way, George Takei, 100% cool.
That's it. I forgot. The whole movie was summed up in God is in the human heart.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you that.
Taking it out.
That it ended up in.
She's starting to lose it for me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, she's starting to agree with him.
Maybe it's the end of the movie. She's just trying to agree with whatever he says. She's afraid he'll pause the movie and explain it to her.
See, right there, that's the problem with Kirk. God is in the human heart.
Oh, so Spock is out.
So those Vulcans, those Andorians.
Klingons.
You know, but human.
They're all damned.
He really means anthropomorphic.
That's why it's such a.
Dogs with talk.
I mean, and Leonard.
Maybe.
And Dee were both, right?
Yogi Bear.
Consistency in their characters.
Okay, okay.
It made it better.
Just yell at you in this commentary.
Big Bird. Got him, Big Bird.
Okay. We've got it.
Interpretation.
How about the Shmoo?
Not familiar.
I don't remember the Shmoo.
Don't remember the Shmoo.
He was white and he was like a blob and he hung out with Fred and Barney when his show got canceled.
Oh, it's my father. It's my father.
They had Fred and Barney meet the Shmoo and for some reason Fred and Barney were cops. Do you remember this?
I remember the Shmoo in Casper.
Might have happened. Shmoo kind of looked like Casper with like a mustache.
Yeah. Did Shmoo had a mustache?
Kind of. He had like whiskers.
He did have whiskers.
In
the movie. I think it was. They're singing Row, 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 Everybody again. This is a callback.
This is the song that he has a name.
Point to the fireplace.
He's playing the Vulcan harp.
Now, how is the Vulcan harp different from other, like, human harps?
It's got logical. It's got knobs on it.
Because she couldn't afford that shot. Nope, that's it. No more stars. You're out of money and time.
Yeah.
We are out of time.
Wow.
Classic Star Trek theme.
Yeah.
Cast?
I think it was, for me, it was a great experience. I learned a great deal. I wish I could put it to work.
I wish it meant something.
But for some reason, they won't give me another movie.
Working alongside my daughter Liz.
Gods in quotations. I want that clear.
I really, for the first time, saw her as an adult.
Melanie Shatner. There's another Shatner.
Yo, man.
He just saw Liz Shatner as an adult.
A whole person, not my child. So
what?
From many points of view, person. I'm so glad that I did the film.
Really?
Okay, so that's Star Trek V.
That's Star Trek V. I'm Mike Drucker.
I'm John Clark.
And I'm Bill Monroe.
So what are your final thoughts, Wally?
That, you know, I understand a lot more now because Bill really wasn't a part of the movie. I don't think he was there when he acted. I don't think he was there when he directed. I think he phoned it in, and I think it's a better movie for that.
I think it's kind of like my junior prom night. I really hadn't been with a girl before, and so there was a lot of fumbling around. There was a lot of mistakes, a lot of times when I should have apologized that I didn't for going too far. But I think in the end, both of us learned an important lesson about life.
And what is that lesson?
Never again. Never again.
I'm somehow more confused. I don't think I've seen this movie in like 15 years. I thought I knew what it was about. I watched it with the commentary and with two people, one of them explaining it to me as we go. And I feel like I know less about this movie than I did when I started.
Well, it's a lot like The Grapes of Wrath.
Yeah, I never finished that.
Well, exactly. It's sort of like when you experience it once, you're like, oh, it's about... you know, the Okies moving out west to try to find work. But then as you read it, you find there's deeper meaning within that Steinbeck, you know, wanted you to get upon repeated readings, I think is what you do with books.
But I'm actually losing what I had before. I'm actually losing my experience of the first
time. So it's more like a Beckett play.
It's more like antimatter now.
Okay, oh, okay. I was trying to create like a literary... analogy.
Yeah, it's like Harold Pinter, I think.
Okay.
If you want, literally. Harold Pinter writing on antimatter paper. I just don't want
to. With like invisible ink that you need like a special lamp to see?
You need a lemon. You have to rub a lemon on it to get the ink to come out?
Metaphor is too big now.
Yeah.
I'm never going to watch this movie again.
Neither am I, and I own it.
Oh, I think we're gonna. I'm gonna have to subject somebody else to this. There's a paper in this movie.
All right. Well, considering that Shatner stopped talking,
I think we should too.
I think we should too.
All right.
Thanks for listening, all two of you.
Yeah.
And bonus points to whoever made it to the end.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mom.
We'll see you soon.